Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your host, the award-winning Jessica Rodriguez Bunavage. Hey, Jess.
Hey, I love the tone of your voice. So sexy.
How
Happy
are you?
Monday. I'm so good. I'm a little bit exhausted from hiking yesterday for Father's Day.
Well, you've had a busy weekend. You had your daughter Brianna's 18th birthday.
Yeah.
There's a million things going on that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
And Father's Day.
And
we
Father's
can't talk
Day.
About them just yet. We promise.
Yes. Yes.
We're not
yes.
hiding anything from anyone.
No, but I'm so happy about what you told me this morning when you called me. You were like, Jess, for four weeks, we talked about, you know, our Father, our God, our Heavenly Father. And now we are going to discuss about our earthly Father. You know, what are the things that we have learned from them? You know, the legacy that they've left behind. Now you're writing a book about your dad, wow. You know, and, you know, about the restaurant and stuff. And, you know, and I dedicated this whole, you know, my podcast show, The Polished Woman, for my dad. If not, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it kind of like helped me. He helped me. He's passing.
Well, hold on. Let's explain
there.
Why.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
during the time that you were starting The Polished Woman,
yes.
what are we now? 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Your father had just passed.
Yes.
And I remember you calling me. I was mm-hmm. driving on Beverly Glen and you were saying that you couldn't do the show.
Yeah.
And that you weren't sure if it was your purpose. And yeah. I remember saying to you, Jess, if you have to do this show now, you have to do it more mm-hmm. than ever. Your father's yes. passing is just a remembrance that you have to carry the legacy, carry the torch, do what you're supposed to do. So that you can not only honor and please him, but honor and
yeah.
please your Heavenly Father. And
yeah.
and you didn't want to do the show. You had a lot of depression and anxiety.
No, and I was also scared. You know, I mean, I don't know if people will accept me, you know, with my English as my second language. And then, you know.
And how many awards later do we have? One,
hey,
two, three, four.
Look at my back.
You know. Also, today's a great show. And ladies, thank you for tuning in. Follow Jess at The Polished Woman on Instagram. And remember, be a part of the show. Send us your questions. Tweet us. DM
yes.
us. Be a part of the show. Today, we're doing a show called Honor Thy Father. Mm-hmm. Jess, let me ask you this question before I go and then we have our guest come on.
Okay.
But through the years, we've done now 3 years of shows.
Yeah.
Three Father's Days.
Yes.
Has Father's Day ever become easier for you since your father's passing? And how do you remember him?
Well, I remember him by like contacting that's the first thing that I do in the morning. I contact my siblings and we're like, Happy Father's Day, Dad. So we're all like, you know, of course we all miss him. And then we greet our, you know, so it's really like going back to the, how do you say this, the people that he, you know, the siblings that he gave us, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
connecting again and being so close. We're really close. I'm very fortunate. I think it's because of my father that we're super close to each other. And, you know, just remembering our dad every year. It's, you know, it's still the same. We still all cry. You know, like when we hike yesterday, I was like, you know, when I hike with him, there are moments that I'm alone. Not alone, but in my thoughts, I was like, oh, I wish that you're here. You know, like.
And he is there.
Yeah. You know,
there's a beautiful African proverb that says, every time you say my name, my spirit shall be with you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And it's true. Yeah. You know, we have to always acknowledge our ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, there's such a grace and a beauty and an elegance to say, thank you. Thank you for I am here because of you.
Yes.
And that's the legacy. You know, that's the legacy. But you're going to have a great show.
Yes. And I want to dedicate this show to all the women or even, you know, everyone who lost their father and most especially to those who lost their father during COVID because it's hard. I think,
well, you know, we did a show on grief.
Harder.
We did
yes,
shows on grief.
Yes.
So if you are learning how to grieve and you want to understand the process of grieving, go back to our archives on latalkradio.com/TPW for the Polished Woman, latalkradio.com/TPW. And there you'll be able to see the shows that we've done on grieving. There's a process to it. There's no right way. There's no wrong way to grieve. You have to do what feels right for you, for your heart, for your soul, for your spirit. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to scream, scream. If you need to laugh, laugh. Yes. Whatever you need to do to grieve, it is your personal way of grieving. And Jess did some beautiful shows about it. So I encourage you to go look at latalkradio.com/TPW.
And if you need and if you need help, if you need help, if you need to talk to somebody, just contact me, message me on the Polished.
DM you.
Yeah, just direct message me on the Polished Woman, you know, Instagram
and Twitter.
I will promise I will call you. I will talk to you because that's my purpose.
Yeah. So, well, your purpose right now is to finish the show. So I'm going to
finish the show. Okay.
The room. You're going to have a great show. Jess, you look beautiful. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. And I love you.
Continue to never give up and be the best you can be. All right. Have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you. A father is neither an anchor to hold us back nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way. This is so nice. So, you know, when was the last time you really sat down and thought about the kind of relationship that you have with your father, or what lessons, you know, you've learned from it, or how it affects how you interact with other people, right? It really affects, you know, interacting with other people, like how, you know, you interact with your dad. It's been a while, or if you've never done it all, then I encourage you to take a few moments and do that today, because whether your relationship with him was good, bad, or even non-existent, there's something about it that's influencing who and how you are today. Yeah. No experience has ever wasted. The relationship has shaped the person you are, and it may shape the person you'll become, but that's a choice that you have to make for better or for worse. So I am so happy. I'm so happy that I found our guest for today, Therese Allison. And she found us. Oh my gosh, Therese Allison. She's a mom, a mentor, business cheerleader, and the best-selling author of Playing for Kips: How a 21st Century Businesswoman Beat the Boys. I love this. Therese. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Hello, Jessica. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you're so busy. You're all over. Oh my gosh. Can I just... Okay, I wanted to go direct to your father. I know, you know, from your book that your father passed away in 2015.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm dedicating this to all the, you know, women and people out there who lost their father. So please listen to this and how she coped that and how she... you know, the how she's using her what she learned from her father and now building a legacy out of it. Okay, and that you published your book in 2020. Do you think that, you know, writing your book or this book, which actually includes some of his artwork, which I want to show later on, help you through the grieving process?
Oh, gosh, I'm like getting in tears. So, you know, this is hard for everyone who's lost.
I know.
Yes, I'll tell you what, in 2015, when he passed, it was so raw for several years. Yeah. Although I'll tell you that last year after he passed, there was so much connection with stuff in our family and stuff that was coming up that I wrote little stories, you know, little vignettes, because I had gone to see my dad's estate from his family that they lost the estate, part of the story, and just inspired me. But then I took a nosedive emotionally. For a couple of years, I couldn't even think about it. I couldn't write about it. It was too much because we were so close. It was like he was my rock. He was the wind beneath my wings. He was the person that would always say, "Of course," when I'd try to bring the new thing that I did, or if I landed something. And it's like
I'm crying already.
I mean, you can relate to that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, you know, when the cat brings the mouse to the owner and says, "Here, I did this." And he would say, "Well, of course you did." And I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute, Dad, you know, like, I want to surprise you. Like, I know you believe in me."
Yeah.
So then I went on and Now, something happened with my son. It was
comfort. Did you promise him this before he passed away? Was when he was alive or?
It was when he was alive.
Okay.
Yeah, it was right before he passed. In 92, he had done a lot of research on our family and uncovered a huge California story, a Winston Churchill story, all of this stuff. And I was so busy in my career. I was like, dad. Yeah. I got it.
Yes, we do that. We take them for granted. We're always busy and you know that they're just there.
Yeah. I'm like, we're slaying the dragons with, you know, the pearls on and whatever.
Yeah.
So I realized it was so important to him. And right before he passed, I said, I will write the Allison book. Don't you worry.
Okay. Yeah. Before we get started, what is grieving? What does grieving mean to you? You know, can you define it?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what it has meant to me. You go through a process, and a friend and I have talked about this. It's like you have to, there's no short way through it. Mm-hmm. You have to go through the fire.
Yeah.
You have to feel the feelings.
Yeah.
You have to go through those milestones that come up, mm-hmm. the holidays, their birthday, birthday.
Yeah.
All the firsts are excruciating, and I'm not going to lie. They're just really difficult. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you to give you hope is at some point, depending on your grieving process, mm-hmm. you'll think back and you'll smile on the memory. And it won't ache in your heart because the ache in the heart is the just heartbreaking. But
heartbreaking.
I promise you, because I heard that you recently lost your father or.
Yes, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago. So that's, but it feels like, you know, it feels like just yesterday that, you know, it's the phone calls, it's the advice. Yeah. It's like what you've said, like he was your, you know, your cheerleader. He was my cheerleader. He was like, no, you can do this. Oh, you know, I know that, you know, you'll finish this, or, you know, you're so good at it, or you're beautiful. You're like, you know, you just, you know, that all of those. Yeah. And he passed away like right before the show. And so that kind of like, you know, helped. Yeah. Through me. Yeah. It helped me a little bit, you know, go over my grieving process, just like I think maybe with you, it was writing your book, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Now, okay. It's crazy that you, you know, I read this, that your father tried to find your heritage, you know, like he worked on it. How did that even start? I kind of like the lineage and the DNA, I kind of like want to do that to myself also.
I'll tell you what, I've been doing various podcasts and whatnot. Everyone, if you were to go and look at your heritage, you will find things that are so interesting. My grandfather raced against William Mulholland to bring water into Los Angeles. So there was that connection. And then my great-great-grandparents came over during the gold rush over the plains, et cetera. And so he did all that research and then he left it for me. And then he left files.
Wow.
And one file said Lincoln and another file said Churchill. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. So I was able to use the internet and I found the connection.
Yes.
Bloodline to Churchill and, you know, connection to Lincoln. So it was just fun. So fun.
It's so amazing. I should like, Max, we should do that. Yeah. Max is our producer, created the, his grandfather, he created the wedge salad. He was the owner of the Delmonico restaurant and he created wedge salad. Isn't that amazing? Like he just found out. It's great.
That's a salad after my own heart. I'm just staying right now, Max.
Yeah. Okay. So first, I know that your book, Playing for Kips, has this very special dedication. So can you tell me like what kind of, I know it's for your father, but yeah. Tell me, why did you title this Playing for Kips? Yeah, why did you choose it? And
okay, so
what is it for?
Yeah. I grew up in La Cañada, but my dad was a carpet salesman. We were the very middle class. I paid for everything I had to get kind of thing.
I love that.
On the playground as a girl, I was really, really focused. I always wanted to beat the boys. I just knew that if I could... But that would be good. If I were picked first, that was my goal.
Yeah.
And my dad would laugh because he'd say, you know, Teresa, you came out of the womb with a tennis racket in your hand. I'm like, well, maybe. you know, like competitive, right?
Yeah.
And so he just was always a fan. I played sports and played sports.
Yeah.
And so then I took what I learned in sports and then I took it into business as a woman.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I love that. And so how did it start? So that's why it's Playing for Keeps. And how did you dedicate this? What made you dedicate this whole book for your father?
Because he supported me the entire way. He knew like what I did sports and succeeded. And then I went into business. Like your father said, oh, I know you can do this. Oh, you can do that. They encourage you. And when I broke the glass ceiling and with a company tied to Lloyd's of London, which for 300 years did not allow women in. My dad's like, piece of cake. I knew you could do that. I'm like, Dad, you know, what do I got to do here to impress you? But that's why I dedicated it to this.
Wait, can you explain that again, that whole thing? Yeah, that's pretty major.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
So I was in the insurance brokerage industry.
Okay.
And very few women, right? So I went into that industry and I did not lose my femininity. I was a woman amongst men, but I always wore my colors, my pearls, but I could compete with the boys, right? Because I was doing the playground.
Yeah. And yeah.
My book of business just built and built. And then I went into partnership with three other partners, old time brokers with Lloyd's of London. And so I was the first producing female partner. It's a mouthful. With a company tied to Lloyd's. Yeah.
Wait,
go ahead.
By the way, she broke the curse. By the way, Therese, you started independently, right?
Yes.
At age 38 max, 38 years old, and she retired at age 43.
Yes. Yes.
You worked so hard. You worked so hard for like, how many, 5 years? Oh my gosh. Can you tell us more about it for all these women who are listening right now? And how did she do it?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Okay. As a woman in business. So my signature.
I want to be like that. Shoot. Well,
you are. Let me just tell you. Because as a woman in business, my signature was the velvet glove. So.
I want to talk about that. Yeah. Okay.
In business, we're women in business, right? I'm not meant to be a man in business, but
yeah,
you know, I'm going to dress a certain way. I'm going to act the way that I act, but I can go toe to toe when we need to negotiate.
Yes.
I found that as a woman, being feminine, but firm, being graceful, but strong, having a velvet glove. So we have soft and strong. So as women, if we can master the opposing traits in business, we got it made. Because you know what? You can master. I could walk into a meeting. It would be a room full of men. And I always use like kind of humor to disarm the egos.
Yes.
So I recognized I not only needed to disarm their ego, but I need to put mine away too. So we all put our egos away. I'm going to use humor. Right.
Okay.
And then we're going to go in and we're going to do business. Doesn't matter if man, woman, whatever, we're doing business.
Yeah.
And I just think as a woman, especially in today's day and age, we have it made.
Yeah. Wait, is this something that your father taught you?
No.
So this is just,
it was just me.
Wow. That's just you. Oh my God. I love her. Wait, did your father had a sense of humor?
Oh God, yes.
He was like, okay. You know, see, you got it from him.
I did. Oh my God. Yes.
Okay. Yes. He didn't teach you, but you got those traits from him.
Yes. Do you know who Mr. Magoo was? It was like an old time cartoon character. I know because you're much younger than me, but
Max, do you know Mr. Magoo?
You don't too.
I know, of course, Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo could be walking through with everything falling down, like he can't really see well, but he comes out like a rose. And so that was my dad. Literally, he didn't even know how to take the cap off of a cup of coffee. He kept taking the cap off while he was driving back in the 70s. And then my nephew says, but Grandpa, you just have to drink through the hole. And he goes, what hole? So So I had that kind of airhead side of me that mm-hmm. It was definitely like my dad that went into business, and I didn't hide it because you can't hide that kind of thing. It's just natural.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the more natural you are, whatever that is, it works well for you in business.
I love Bex. I think she's like a total, Therese is such a total polished woman. Okay. In talking more about their book, there are quite a few things that you credited helping you to be successful, including, yeah, I want to talk about this, the Velvet Glove for Women, and using Lucy moments. Can you briefly explain what each of these things are and how it helped you? Well, you talked about the, you know, the Velvet Glove for Women, but what is this Lucy moments?
Oh God, you're going to love it. So again, it's kind of the Mrs. Magoo thing. And at the end of each of the chapters, I have a story.
Yeah.
That I told. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of a Lucy moment for me.
Okay.
So back in the 90s, I had won a trip. I couldn't afford to go, but I had won it from a carrier to go to Monaco. Okay. The Monte Carlo Grand Prix. And so I went with a woman that worked with me because she also helped me with the business.
Okay.
So we get to there and we're going to this dinner thing the next night, and I get my black dress out.
Yeah.
This is not a polished woman, I'm just telling you right now. It's too long.
Yeah.
I call the concierge and ask for scotch tape. Okay. I'm taping the hem. I know, shocked. I know.
Oh my. That was good though. Yeah, you thought of that. Okay.
So we go down to the event, and we're getting out of the car, and I get out first, and we have Prince Albert is walking ahead of us with his, I'm not sure, maybe a princess, I don't know who it was at the time, and another famous couple. And I get out first, and my tape starts to come unraveled as I'm going up the steps.
Yeah.
And Joanne behind me is trying to pick it up like there's nothing going on, and I just keep walking.
Yeah.
So I tell the story, because at the end of the day, we just there's way more to this. But stuff like that happened to me kind of all over the world, really.
Wait, did you just mention Prince Albert of Monaco?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. He came to the Philippines and I literally, he invited me to have lunch and my friends to have lunch in his suite in the Philippines. And he's super nice. And then he was single then. And then he invited me in some club in the Philippines. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were polished though, Jessica. You got it together. You know.
Yeah. He's a very, very nice, very gentle guy. He speaks very, person. He speaks very gentle, super polite. Yeah. But those were the good times. And I was not married yet. And he was not married yet. So. Hello, Prince Albert.
Good memories to have.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing that you credit, you know, as helping you be successful is playing competitive, of course. Okay. Do you have any advice, for all of our listeners who want to develop that kind of mentality that a person gets by being, you know, in this type of environment, but because they're adults, don't necessarily have the time or resources to get involved in sports?
Okay, so what I took from sports into business was an I can attitude.
Okay.
And so I would visualize before a championship or whatever, and then mm-hmm. visualize the day before and then do well. I took that into business.
Okay.
And like, let me give you an example.
Okay.
So I had a client, a big, big client in Alabama, and all the way flying there, mm-hmm. in my mind, I kept picturing them signing the letter to give me the business.
Okay.
In my mind, I kept thinking it was going to happen. I, in my mind, could hear them say, we're going with her. She's the one that will help us the most. And I went to Alabama and came out with a business. And so I guess what I'm saying to your listeners is this, that it's kind of like what you think in your mind, that's where you will go. That's where, so you need to be positive. You need to... really think you can do it. Believe, as my dad would say, again, I get some of this from my dad. Just believe, pray about it. One of his things was trust God like a child. A child
yes.
innocently trusts a parent, right? So mm-hmm. innocently believe that you're going to get what it is that you want, you know, you want to get.
Wow, so, I love that. No, it's really trusting God, trusting your gut, you know, mm-hmm. and just really manifesting it in your mind that whatever you want to happen, it will happen and you'll get it.
Yes.
Right? Look at you. Yes. You started independently, retired at age in 5 years. You know, I mean, you did it. You created an amazing reality in your mind and you did it on your own.
Yes, I did.
Oh my, this is amazing. So you're I wanna talk about, you know, you and your father, because
yes.
This is what, you know, the people are waiting for. How was your relationship with him growing up? How were you like always in good terms, or did you have, you know, how was your relationship, or did you, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my dad was like a prince. He was the kindest man you would ever meet. I think there was one time that maybe he tried to spank us and I ran. So I got away, but that was the only time, and the nicest man you'll ever meet in the world. And so we were close. And unfortunately, a very sad thing happened when I was 15.
Wait, can you tell them more about this? So your father, he lost his parents, right?
Oh, yes.
Lost his parents. And then I believe that, I'm sorry about this. Your sister.
Committed suicide.
Suicide as well. And all those things. But then even if all those things happened to you guys, I mean, to your family.
Yeah.
He still, you know, he still had strength and that courage to, you know, to continue life, right? Can you tell us more about this?
He was so positive. Like he went through challenges, but he would come out on the other side. Like he would pray to get rid of the negativity.
Yes.
So he could be positive. Mm-hmm. And he, his art, Jessica, he became an abstract artist in the 70s.
Yeah.
And his art was his outlet for his emotions from all that childhood stuff, right? Losing his parents. And by the way, he lost his mom. He was in the hospital. She was on the way to the hospital. She got in a car accident, came in and died in the hospital when he was there. So it was tragic, just tragic.
Oh.
And so he had a lot of stuff to, you know, to work out. And when he started painting, that was his outlet. And that's like the art that's in the book and his
talent. Ronan, hold on. Before you continue, Ronan, can we show the artwork that her father created? I want to show, like, while we're talking, I want to show them, there you go. So can you see that? Oh my gosh, this is like, he did this?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Jessica, that one was, that's really special. That was a manifestation thing. In 1983, he painted that painting.
Yes.
And in 2003, the family and I went on a Mediterranean cruise. And my dad and I got up one really early at 6 a.m. to turn mm-hmm. the corner to Venice.
Okay.
We saw that same exact thing. And I looked at him, I'm like, Dad, you painted that. I look at him and he just kind of like smiled. I'm like, Dad, we have that at home. He goes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he taught me. So he did teach me kind of that manifestation of visualize.
Yeah.
Prayers down. He would paint things. Instead of like in Field of Dreams where they say, if you build it, they will come. It was with him, it was, if you paint it, it will come.
Wow. I like that. For people, wait, can I show another painting? Before I don't want to forget what I'm going to ask you. Okay, can you show another painting? There you go. How about this one?
This one was, I actually used this in the book for the Colorado River. It's the name of it is Colorado. The Colorado River was the river that was harnessed by my grandfather to bring water into Lower California. So Dad, you know, so if you look at the swirls, look at the, it's kind of like there is a winding river.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything
Can we show the one with the calendars? I want to ask you about this. The calendars. There you go. What is this? I was going to ask you if these are calendars and then how did he, why is this? Why did he create this?
he loved to write down everything. So
Same thing. I do this.
Painting and then markers, right? And so he got, he would get Ansel Adam calendars. And then every month for like 15 years, I have them. And he would write down whatever was happening in the family or whatever was happening in the U.S. or politically or
I love it.
Nationally. So Japan trade, there was something going on.
Yeah.
Which, and LA stops Japanese on Metro. So there was something, you know, with that. And, but in the, I use this one because in the midst of everything is hope. Yes. In the midst of everything is hope.
Wow. I love it. Oh my God. This is so good. Because I love writing. I love writing in on a calendar as well. You know, like how we all have our iPhones and, you know, our phones and our smartphone and we put our calendar there. I still do this. I have this big calendar and I write down everything, every moment as well. So with your father's manifestation, instead of like writing, some other people can do, what do you call that mass that we do, that I have here at home? A vision board.
Yes.
To create that vision board. Yes.
Vision
board. Yeah. Help create your reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is super amazing. Okay. Now what are other things that, you know, you have learned from your father that you are now teaching your children? You have three children, right?
I do.
Yes.
30 years, 27, 15. It's like, what didn't I learn? I mean, the cornerstone of my life has been, you know, I try at best to have integrity. He had the utmost integrity. I mean, it was almost like he was a saint at times, which, you know, is quite the example for us. And, you know, just kindness. He'd walk into a room, people would always remind me, particularly after he passed.
Yeah.
He walks in the room and then he'd light it up. And then if he were talking to you, you were the only person in the room. You were the most important person in the room because he didn't care about all the pretense. He could be in the middle of all of this money and whatever. He'd have his signature Hawaiian shirt on and his jeans and his tennis shoes, and you would be enthralled with him in a one-on-one conversation where you would feel like, you know, he's at your heart. That's who he was. And that's what he passed that on to us, you know?
Yeah. I love when you, oh wait, where is that? I love when you said, where is this? This is the one. I love when you said that your father showed you how to create genuine connections with people, whether they were in popular crowd, the wealthy creme de la creme, the barista at Starbucks, or the guy next to us in the elevator, like Rose in Titanic. I love this. You can hang out in a first class or a steerage, all at the same, all are the same to him. I love that. That's like Jesus Christ.
It's funny. I was talking to my sister before. Want to be funny, but he was Christ-like from that point. And so he taught me, I'm the quintessential Rose on Titanic. I could care less where I am. As long as I am talking to you, I'm happy, you know? So.
Wow. Okay, for you now, let's do the title. Let's talk about our title. What does it mean to you to honor thy father?
To honor my father is to tell his story. He wanted his art to get out there. He ideally wanted to sell his art. And he also told me, you know, he used to have prayer. We have 60 prayer pads. He wrote down prayers and all the answers are marked in there, like in red, that came, you know, to fruition. And he has all of his calendars. And he would say to me, Teresa, all the answers are in my calendars. I go, what do you mean, Dad? He goes, all the answers on how to do this, act like it's already granted, trust God like a child, believe. He goes, that's my legacy. All of those calendars, if you were to read those, you'll be able to do this stuff. And that's what's happened. So my honoring him is sharing it with the world. He really wanted people to know. He wanted people to know that you can do these things and be successful.
See, ladies, you can do all of these things, whatever you're thinking, whatever your dreams are, manifest it, pray for it, and trust God that you will get it.
Yes.
You will get it. You know, have you ever been, you know, in a situation where you think like, oh my gosh, how can I do this? How, you know, like really down, and your father was just there for you and said, no, don't give up.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Two things. One of the biggest things he would say to me when I would have a storm personally is he would say, this too shall pass. You'll be on the other side and you'll be able to get where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And so he was always that hope, kind of that beacon, you know, that you would see. And so, yeah, he was definitely, you know what, he was, gosh, he was like a psychologist. He had just such wise words, you know. It like with so many people, and I'm sure in your audience, you feel that your father has given you comfort.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And it's the same thing. It doesn't matter how it's said. That's how he made me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I say it now to my friends and my kids, this too shall pass.
Yeah. Is there anything that you have not like told him, you know, when he was alive? Is there anything that you have not discussed with about you or kept to him, you know, about you? Gosh. Or any secret that you have not, you know, told him that you wished I could have told you?
Gosh. I'll tell you what, Jessica, I walked with him literally the last 11 years of his life. And I had the opportunities to just be able to, I was there with him. And so, no, I mean, I would look back and say, Dad, I guess I would say, is you were right about the California history. You were right about the history. Okay, I should have paid attention.
Now, what can you advise all the listeners out there who have a very strained relationship with their father, mm-hmm. and or who have not really been open and who doesn't have any close relationship with their father?
Gosh. You know, I find in certain situations that prayer helps me to just try and center me, to do whatever centers you, and also understand that we're all human. You know, we all have faults. I've got some big faults, and it's just, you have to recognize that they did. Here's one thing I would say is they did the best they could, because they did what they could based on what they learned growing up. Mm-hmm. Or what they, you know, whatever their environment was, they did the best they could.
Ooh, I love that. They did the best they could. They really did.
Yeah.
You know, even if they made mistakes, even if they, you know, they lost, what do you call that? They missed some of the important days of your life. They did their best
as a father.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You got to kind of, you go back and think maybe how they were raised and what their parents missed with them. And so, just, you know, it wasn't done on purpose. They just didn't know better.
Yeah. Okay. So I like this. I like this whole I can attitude that he taught you. I love that. I love this one. So circling back again, talking about your father. So, you know, he never had a chance to really read your book, right? But what do you think you could have, would have been his favorite part of it, of your book?
Oh, gosh. He just would have been proud all the way around, but he would have gotten a kick out of Lucy moments, because it's just like, I didn't fall far from the tree on that one. He'd be like, I could see that happening. So I think he'd get a kick out of that. You know, the whole career thing, all that, but yeah. He never actually, I don't even think I told him those stories, Jessica. The first time I
really
no, first time I told all these stories was in the book, and people are like, oh my gosh, that happened to you. I'm like, yes, try being me when this stuff happens.
Yeah,
it happens.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what do you before, oh my gosh, we're almost done. What do you want our listeners to take home, you know, to take away from your book right now while listening?
Gosh. You know, you can do it. It doesn't matter who you are. You really can do it. Set your goal. Just set your goal. I would say pray for it. I would say keep it in your head, but also have infinite patience.
Ooh,
you, things are
I
not
like that.
Happen like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's timing. It's in, you know, you can't, like, I many times, here's what happens is I will say I want to do something. It's taking a long time, and all of a sudden something will come up and I have to change a gear, change a track, and then it happens. So you just have to be patient. Just set your mind on what you're going to
do. All right.
What's your goal? Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it, you know, and then be patient.
and be patient. And then do your vision board or do the calendar, right?
Calendar. The one thing I will leave you to is that gratitude is everything. Gratitude.
Let's have a Twitter. Yeah. Oh, hold on. Okay. Oh, yeah. If there is one thing you could tell your father, if he were watching the show now, what would it be?
Aw. Thank you. And you're now setting an example for a much larger audience and not just our family.
Yeah. And you're actually sharing it right now. Right now, you're sharing this.
I hope my eyelashes don't fall off. Come on.
No, you're good. It's really hard. I get you, because I had a very close relationship with my father. It's hard every day. Yeah, I've broken down so many. I had anxiety. Did you ever have anxiety?
I had all of that. I mean, it was horrible. That first few years was emotionally, it was almost a train wreck. And so I just had, but like I said, you go through the fire.
Okay, my question is, does it get easier?
Yes, it does. As the years go on, like I said, it becomes like a warm feeling. And you remember you have smiles in your heart and you just kind of think about the things, and it's not that stabbing pain that goes away.
Yeah.
That aching goes away. I promise you, I'm like the perfect example of that, because probably no one was closer with their father, you know, and now I feel like I'm taking his platform and I'm moving on with him. He's still with me, right?
Oh, yes. He is with you. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So one thing I'm going to leave you with is that in 2008, I said to him, guess, you know, you're going to leave before I will, and I will be left alone. And he looked at me and he said, but I'll be in your heart. And later on, some things happened in the book, which I can't tell you, but it was about his spirit was with me for sure. And you'll cry. When you read the book, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry. At the end, you cry. And it's just about, they're in your heart. They're with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I want to get your book. It was so last minute. I didn't have any chance to like get it. Like literally, I'm like, wait, I want her.
We'll get a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one too. So.
Yeah. Oh, this is such a good. See, Max, this is such a good show, and it's. You know, honor thy father, and fathers are so important, as well as moms, of course, you know. But for some reason, there are, I think, maybe because we're girls. Yeah. Do you believe that we're daddy's girl? Yeah, we're daddy's girl. Yeah. And literally, like, the sons are closer to mom. Like, for some reason, do you have kids?
I do. Yeah, we have three, two girls. Yeah.
Yeah. And the moms are close. Somehow there's like a special, I don't have any favoritism, but because I think I only have one boy that I'm like, you know, there's like a, you know, something about, yeah, a bond with a boy. Like,
it's all different. You know, the baby is different. The middle, you know, it's just.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There is. Thank you so much. Wait, can you tell me your father's name?
Gould. G-O-U-L-D.
Gould. Oh my God.
And so Gould. He never had a middle name, Jessica, because you don't need a middle name with the name Gould.
I love his name. Gold, as in gold.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so true. Max, you lived in a gold street, right?
Wait.
Yeah.
Max, where's Max from?
Max is from New York.
I was in the Hollywood Hills, I lived off of Gould.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Gould there, because there's a Gould in La Cañada too. So apparently.
Yep, right off of Laurel Canyon.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for your beautiful show. I'm going to let Janice finish, but I really wanted to just honor this space and this moment and this time right now. And thank you and your father for, you know, filling in you what he did, because no experience is ever wasted. And every time we say their name, their spirit lives on with us.
Yeah.
So we honor them, we celebrate them. And today's show is important to honor thy father.
Yes.
In the sense that so many people have lost their fathers, especially in the last year. And your story and your hope and your courage will pave the way for a lot of women who are suffering to know that even though there's cloudy days, the sun still shines. So thank you for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, Therese, this is our purpose. Whatever our father left to us in our heart, the legacy that they've left for you and I.
For sure. And thank you. There's no accident that we came together.
Yes, I know. Thank you so much, Therese. Thank you so much. Okay. I love you and I love you all. Girls, thank you so much for tuning in to our show. Thank you. Thank you so much. The relationship that you had with your father yesterday is not the relationship that you have to have with him today or tomorrow. Remember that the choice you make is one that should help you live your healthiest and happiest life. Don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. Thank you so much. And I love you all. See you next Monday. Bye. Follow me on Instagram. If you want to talk to me, please DM me. Thank you.